This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We're back, live with more Rami Metcalf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Not specifically about football. It's more just getting to know him and a little bit about his experience since he got to Chicago. And so I think we're going to get a very hungry, a very passionate version of Caleb. He's determined to become one of the greats here in our league. So I'm very excited to get a chance to work with him.
There's Bears head coach Ben Johnson. I am Rami Metcalf with you until 9 o'clock. We'll talk some Cubs with Taylor McGregor, Cubs reporter from Marquee, coming up at 7:40. But joining me now on the Hyundai Score Studios, joining me now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. I got my sponsors mixed up. Download the Circus Sports app today. You catch her on Fox 32. She's an anchor, a reporter. Catch her on Game Day Live, Bears Blitz, and debuting tomorrow at 6 on Fox Digital and YouTube. Catch the offseason with Cassie Carlson, and Cassie joins me now. Cassie, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Rami. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to talk to you. It's been a fun week down at the Combine. It kind of feels like for the media side, it's coming to an end. But for these prospects, it's really just ramping up with those on-field workouts that started today.
You know, watching the mobs that gather around these guys at the Combine, it seems like it's as much of a trial of your physical fitness for the reporters as it is for the players when you get out there to Indy.
Yeah, when I saw the I guess you could call it the media conglomerate that was there for Travis Hunter today, it was by far the largest. It reminded me of Caleb Williams last year. He's just kind of the guy that everyone wants to talk to. And I was walking around with Jeff Joniak, and we were like, oh my gosh, we walked up right as he started. We're like, we're never going to hear anything this guy says. And it's just one of those things where it really is telling of who everyone wants to talk to and who everyone believes will be the top prospects going early in the draft.
Got to sharpen up those elbows, Cassie, and make your way through that crowd. You know, you got to sharpen up the elbows.
I'm lucky that I'm tall. I can see over most people.
That is useful. I don't know what that's like, but I hear that's useful, Cassie. Talking with Cassie Carlson, Fox 32 sports anchor here on the Score Evening Show. And you had a chance to sit down with Bears head coach Ben Johnson. I caught it today on your Twitter account. Folks can follow Cassie at Cassie Carlson. And really good sit down. What was, and we'll get more into detail about what you took away from that, but what was your major takeaway from like what impressed you the most or stuck with you the most from your sit down with Ben Johnson?
I think we've heard this now from multiple people that he is really just a normal guy and very easy to talk to. And that's a welcome change for us on our side. Like, he makes it easy. He gives you some details and tidbits and makes it interesting. And I think we were missing that with the previous head coach and Matt Eberflus, that it was just like he was keeping a lot close to the vest. And I think there's kind of an art to, you can give some hints and tidbits and some information without really giving away anything. And so I just think he's super sharp. We heard Ryan Poles mention that he has the highest football IQ than anyone he's ever been around. And I think that's very telling. I think he might have a photographic memory, because like little things that we talked about in our first sit down interview that we had on his introductory press conference day, he remembered. So I just kind of think that speaks to his intelligence, and also just he's personable. And I think that will resonate with a lot of the players too, as he gets to know them and gets in the building, because he's also very intense. So I think there's a good balance between just being a normal human being, which I think there's a lot of coaches that struggle with that, and then building that camaraderie and those relationships with his players, his coaching staff, that allows him to bring the intensity too when it matters.
Yeah, I think that might be something that kind of slipped past some people before he got this. You know, he's the computer science major.
Right.
He's this play calling guru, and people sometimes look at those guys as, you know, the quiet, smart type. But there is an intensity to Ben Johnson when you really sit down and listen to him talk.
Yeah, and I noticed that during his press conference when he was introduced, because he had those players, Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze. They were all sitting in the front row, and when he turned to them, he was looking at them dead in the eyes, saying, be prepared to work your butts off. You know, the stakes are higher than ever before. You're going to be held accountable. And I feel like the players felt that. I even think DJ Moore said when he was down at the Super Bowl that he was kind of scared of it when he heard that. So I think he does command a room, and it actually reminds me of when we were here last year, because everyone was questioning Caleb Williams and how he would handle the media, what his personality was like. And he walked up to the podium in front of a Travis Hunter-sized crowd and was like, good morning. And it was like, oh, this guy can handle it. And I think Ben Johnson has done a really good job of kind of putting those doubts of if he would be able to command a room to the side.
Yeah, that's I think the question that Bears fans have in the back of their mind, Cassie, is we know this guy can call plays. We know this guy knows football from a mental standpoint. But like you said, can he command a room, or that old cliche, can he be a leader of men and lead 53 guys in the same direction? You seem to think after your sit down with him, he does have that quality about him.
Yeah, and I think that also goes to how he built his staff. That's kind of been a buzz of the combine down here too, is the respect that's on that staff. And even with someone like Declan Doyle, which I think he made it a point to mention that despite him being 28 years old, the players are going to respect him because he's going to make them better. And he's very knowledgeable. He's a grinder. I think Ben Johnson is a grinder as well. Dennis Allen, having the previous head coach experience, Antoine Randall L, someone I think that multiple people have mentioned, just the personality of that guy is so captivating. And Ben Johnson even talked about that when we sat down, that he is going to be involved in these guys' lives outside of football. That's just kind of his personality. That's how he handles things. We saw him, you know, work with Jameson Williams, and we saw all those sideline interactions, whether it was him looking like a parent who is mad at his kid after he got into a scuffle with Tyreek Stevenson, or celebrating with him running down the sideline when he was going off and catching a big touchdown. So I think that's going to be a huge hire as well. And also Al Harris and how he's going to work with Tyreek Stevenson, someone who needs some discipline at points. And I think having someone who played the game, they're going to have a ton of respect for one another. So I think the staff he built too also gives Ben Johnson credibility. And Dan Campbell spoke, and he said his biggest advice to both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, his two coordinators that he lost, is the most important decision you're going to make is who you hire for your staff. And he felt like the two of them, especially Ben Johnson, did a good job of that.
You've been down there, and like I said, you had a one-on-one with Ben Johnson, but Ryan Poles, the GM, spoke to you guys, the mob of media that's out there in Indy, and there seems to be, you know, when the Matt Eberflus firing happened and we saw the press conference that ensued, that was, he seemed like a defeated and deflated man. He seems to have gotten his mojo back, Cassie, at least in terms of how he presents himself to the media. He seems to be back in command of this organization from the appearances that we see.
Well, he did hire Ben Johnson, so I think people are very happy with that decision. So right now, all things are good, and it is honestly a very different feel for the Bears at the Combine this year, because they don't have the number one overall pick, whereas like the last 2 years, everyone was trying to find Ryan Poles. You know, last year it was like, all right, you got the sense that they were going to move on from Justin Fields. The year before that, they were shopping who to trade that number one overall pick to. So Ryan Poles was the guy. this year you don't have that feel. And also because it's not a quarterback heavy draft class and the top two guys aren't, you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May like we had last year, it just seems like a very mellow kind of combine in that way. So I just think maybe the pressure isn't on him as much right now, although come free agency, which we know Trey Smith has now been franchise tagged by the Chiefs, and then the draft with that 10th overall pick, that could quickly change for Ryan Poles.
Talking with Cassie Carlson, Fox 32 sports anchor. Check out the offseason debuting with Cassie Carlson on Fox Digital and YouTube tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Just real quick, back to Ben Johnson, and I want to talk some more big picture issues with the Bears here with you. In your interview, I heard him use the term that set a tone or instill a tone, and we hear culture. We hear all these buzzwords and cliches. Whatever you want to call it, what's going to be the tone, the identity, or the culture of this Bears team, do you think, under Ben Johnson, based on what you learned about him in your sit-down?
Yeah, the buzzword seems to be physicality, and that obviously is, you know, a word that you want to hear when you're talking about wanting to build in the trenches and the offensive line. He talked about finishing around the ball. That seems to be what they really want their identity to be, and something that stuck out to me is he talked about the prototype of player that they want when it comes to an offensive lineman. You can talk height, weight, size, speed, all of that. But he said the tape doesn't lie, and you don't want to get caught up with sitting down with these prospects at the draft in these 20-minute interviews and falling in love with their personality and the charisma they might bring to that. He said you got to go to what the tape shows you. And I think that Ryan Poles maybe has gotten caught up in that in the past because of he was so focused on getting good character guys in the locker room. Granted, it was a different locker room, and maybe you needed that at the time when you're going through a rebuild. But this isn't a total rebuild. The Bears have players on the roster already. And that's part of the reason why Ben Johnson was so excited and wanted this job, because he believes they have good foundational pieces. Now it's just adding those other guys around it. So physicality seems to be the buzzword that they really want to be a physical team. And I think it's refreshing to hear that they're going to go based off of the tape and not so much about the personality and character that you see in the interviews.
You led me right into my next question, Cassie, because you echoed a sentiment that I've heard from a lot of people who cover this team or talk about this team, which is they have some players, or you'll hear they're closer than their record might indicate. And look, I don't think anybody in the NFL is ever too far away from contending, because we see teams every year turn it around in 1 or 2 years. That's why it's baffling to me that we're entering year 4 of the Ryan Poles rebuild with really nothing to show for it. And Cassie, I do look at a team that lost 10 games in a row and lost 12 games last season and go, are they really that close? I mean, nobody's ever really too far away in the NFL, but are they really that close? And should I trust Ryan Poles to put the finishing touches on it if they are, based on what we've seen the last 3 years?
Well, I think part of that too, you could say, well, the having a new head coach, how would have that changed, maybe? Because there were so many one score, one possession games. You know, you could go back to the Detroit game and the meltdown there and all the other ones. So I think with a new coach, there is a fresh optimism for what could be. And then I think given the fact that they have the $79 million in cap space and they have 4 picks in the top 75, you're optimistic that they can find some dudes. And, you know, it's not just, hey, are they going to take an offensive or defensive lineman with that 10th overall pick? They can get some in the second round too. Look at Braxton Jones, whether you want him to be your starting left tackle or not, they found him in the 5th round. And, you know, Ben Johnson comes from Detroit. Most of those guys that were starting on the offensive line were first round picks over a plethora of years, but they have guys that they found in later rounds too. So I think that there's still, you know, plenty of people in a draft class that is very rich in offensive and defensive linemen, very talented and deep. They're going to be able to find those guys. I think the bigger thing, you know, we were on air during our digital show today, and that's when the Trey Smith thing happened. We were like, okay, so everyone thought that the Bears were going to be able to, you know, contend and reset the market and get Trey Smith. I think that's more of the now what do they do? Because Ben Johnson talked about the ability to overhaul an offensive line in one offseason. He compared it to the Carolina Panthers, who had the most expensive O-line last year. And so I think that's now going to become a huge question mark for the Bears, is how they approach free agency, which obviously becomes before the draft and will dictate of some of what they do in late April.
Yeah, you literally almost just quoted the topic I started the show off with, which was Trey Smith franchise tagged. So Now what? Now what do they do? And the question to me, Cassie, becomes the question I was asking Bears fans who were getting in on the show was, Trey Smith was going to be a big swing in terms of his status on the free agent market and in terms of the price tag that he comes with. Looking at the rest of the free agent class and sort of those tier one free agents who would also be big swings, do you see anybody there who would be worth that big swing and worth that big money? Or do you think now with Trey Smith off the market, it's more small swings and plugging more holes with the cap room and the money that they do have to use?
Yeah, I think, if you're looking at the right guard position, there seems to be a kind of a buzz around Kevin Zeitler because he has familiarity mm-hmm. with working with Ben Johnson in Detroit, but he's 34 years old, so he's not going to be a long-term solution at that position. I hope they can get a veteran center like a Drew Dahlman. I think having someone like that for Caleb Williams is going to be crucial. One thing I wish I had time to ask Ben Johnson was, you know, how Caleb was in charge of so much at the line of scrimmage as a rookie and how maybe having a veteran center who could handle more of that and take care of that would alleviate a lot of the responsibility and stress and you know, what happened with Caleb Williams throughout his rookie season. So I'm hopeful that they can get a Drew Dahlman. That I think would be a smart first move. But then I was talking to Trevor Sikkema. He does draft analyst for PFF. And he was like, did you know Will Campbell can play center? And he was calling protections at left tackle at LSU. So there's options there too. But I think it's just a huge wrench in what a lot of people were hoping would happen in free agency. So it's going to change their approach, if I had to guess. I also found it interesting that Ryan Poles didn't want to talk about Trey Smith when he was asked about him. And I thought that was more so of he didn't want to talk about him so his price tag didn't go up. But now that obviously doesn't matter.
One more question for you, and this is less Bears related, although maybe it is somebody who ends up in a Bears uniform. Just being at the combine and talking to all these, I'm going to call them kids because to me they're kids, Cassie. Talking to all these kids that are coming out in the draft, who's the guy that you walk away the most impressed with? Like, oh yeah, that he's got it. This dude's got it, and he's going to be just fine at the next level.
Well, I think the big one today was Ashmar Stewart, the edge rusher out of Texas A&M. He just stole the show. And, you know, you're hearing stories about him, how he dropped 15 pounds and he's 6'5". And then he went out and ran a 4.6 40. He has a 40-inch vertical and a 10-11 broad jump. And people are like, is this Myles Garrett?
Good Lord.
I think the biggest question mark is, you know, he didn't have much sack production in college, 4.5 sacks over his college career. So I think that's a question mark. Abdul Carter, the whole foot thing, I think, is pretty interesting, although people I talked to said it's really not going to affect his draft stock too much because you got to take a chance on this guy. He's that good. So, you know, I think the defensive linemen are pretty interesting. You know, Travis Hunter, he's already a celebrity. He won the Heisman. He can play two positions, and just hearing him speak, you can sense that he has that confidence and swagger that you want and need, because he's like, people kept asking him, what position are you going to play? And he's like, hey, I can play both. That's not up for me to decide. I'm ready to do whatever. So I love that kind of attitude as well. You know, I think the Stewart thing, though, is interesting. These are where a lot of the guys go, and they can make a name for themselves. And a lot of things will change as we'll see the mock drafts come out after this week. So I think his stock has just shot through the roof, and I'm curious to see where he's on a lot of people's boards.
That is Cassie Carlson, Fox 32 sports anchor and Bears reporter. Catch her on Bears Game Day Live, Bears Blitz, and debuting tomorrow at 6 on Fox Digital and YouTube. It's the off-season with Cassie Carlson and my guest for the last few minutes on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Visit CircaLasVegas.com. Cassie, really appreciate the time and the insight.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
There's Cassie Carlson of Fox 32. Check out the off-season with Cassie starting tomorrow on Fox Digital and YouTube. She brought up some of those measurements, and today was defensive linemen and linebackers at the combine. And the combine is not good TV, really, in my opinion. But so I was like going back and forth between that and Spiegel and Holmes as I was getting ready for the show. And it is crazy. It is insane. For like normal human beings like myself to watch these defensive linemen, they're, like she said, they're like 6'4", 320, 330, and they're breaking 5 in the 40-yard dash. They're doing these crazy cone drills and moving around faster than anyone you've ever seen. It is wild, and that's kind of, if anything, is the attraction of the combine. That's it, is just like for lack of a better term, it's like a freak show that these guys are that big and that strong and can move that well. And it's what to me is kind of an attraction to training camp, excuse me, because you get up close to these offensive and defensive linemen doing their drills, and you start to see how big and strong and violent these dudes are with their movements. It's wild, man. It's almost like they're not the same species as us when you look at professional athletes, especially guys who are in the trenches at the NFL level sometime. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, Cassie talked about sort of the difference in Ben Johnson versus, she didn't say Matt Eberflus, but she was hinting at Matt Eberflus. How different is it for the Bears this year at the head coach position? You'll hear it coming up next right here on the Score Evening Show with me, Rami Makhlouf.
I feel going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigators Later.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
There's something different about these two people.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you until 9 o'clock. Taylor McGregor of Marquee Sports Network will talk some Cubs with me coming up in just a little bit, about 7:40, 7:45. She'll be here on the Score Evening Show. NFL Scouting Combine going on right now in Indy. They started out the workouts today with the defensive linemen and linebackers, and everybody's out there. The whole NFL world is out there, including a large Bears contingent, which obviously includes new head coach Ben Johnson. And we thought here on the Score Evening Show, myself and Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass doing a fine job this evening on the ones and twos, we thought it might be a fun exercise now because we're on the right side of it. It might be a fun exercise to compare the old Bears head coach and the new Bears head coach and how they answered questions at the scouting combine, because we hear a lot about how different things are, how much things have changed, and how the Bears are going to do things different this year, and how it all starts with the head coaching change with Ben Johnson coming from Detroit. So we want to hear just how different is it? How different do these two guys really sound and operate from each other? So we've compiled some cuts of these guys basically answering the same question or talking about the same topic. And here's a clip of Matt Eberflus on the process of building or formulating a new roster.
It's really about this time of year, right? So you're in the process of formulating a whole new roster. You know, you got your spots that you got to fill, and you're always looking at that every single year. And to me, it's about, you know, formulating that as we go through this free agency, and then filling the holes with the draft. And then really it's about, you know, the coaches now developing that talent and then putting everything in place and then building our football team once we get into the off-season program. So that's what I'm most excited about.
He said nothing. He said absolutely nothing. He just described in the most broad and general sense what teams are doing this time of year. We're evaluating guys, and we got roster spots to fill, and we're going to fill them, and then we're going to coach them. That was nothing. Tyler, how long was that clip?
Like 20 seconds.
That was 20 seconds of nothing.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
That could have been 20 seconds of dead air, and we would have learned just as much in Matt Eberflus's process or thought process of building a new roster. On the flip side, here's Ben Johnson talking about building a new roster.
We want a physical group, all right? It starts with that, and that's not just the offensive line. That's the entire team. DA and I have been talking about what that looks like on defense. It's going to look that way on offense. Starts in the trenches up front. We talk about finishing in a dominant position. We want to be around the football. The best football players, they finish around the ball. And so that's what you're going to see from our unit, the five guys that we roll into. And it's not even just going to be five. Last few years, it ends up being six, seven, eight, nine guys end up playing significant number of snaps. So we've got to find those five best guys, but we also have to get a good bullpen, if you will, ready to go in at a moment's notice.
How about that, huh? How about that? First of all, just a little energy in his voice, a little pep in his step, so to speak. And then a little bit of detail about how he wants his guys to play. Physical, finishing in a strong winning position. Just a little bit about what you're looking for in these guys that you're going to draft. The next topic that both these guys covered, they were both asked questions about building a foundation for a franchise and for a football team. Here's what Matt Eberflus had to say about building a foundation.
I think you just point to the first 2 years. That first draft class, all the guys that played there, the free agencies we signed there, and then last year, obviously a huge free agency class with the draft class there, with all those guys played. So that's a foundation that we have built at the Bears. So, Justin, if Justin's the quarterback or a new quarterback's in there, there's a lot of things that are around him. And what's cool about it is we get to add some more pieces in free agency coming up here in the short term too.
Now here's Ben Johnson talking about the foundation of the Bears.
The springtime, not just for Caleb, but for the entire team, is we're going to go back to the basics, and that's the fundamentals of each position: blocking, tackling, catching the football, running after the catch, ball security. We're going to break it down to the studs and work to develop it from there. And so for Caleb, it's what are the important things about playing the quarterback position at the NFL level? It's as simple as the procedure of the huddle, breaking the huddle, using cadence, motion, shifts, all those things that can help attack a defense that we feel like can take another step here in Chicago. That'll be the starting point, and we'll look to build around him as well with the talent level and the rest of the support staff.
Again, details. Now, I will say this. Matt Eberflus in a bit of a tougher position when talking about that, when answering that question about a foundation at last year's combine, because the Bears still had not made it known what they were doing at the quarterback. So you can say, our foundation is Justin Fields or it's Caleb Williams, and we go from there. But even with that being said, a little detail. Matt Eberflus is just like, our foundation is the guys we drafted the last couple of years. Nothing about their process, nothing about what they'll do to have these guys ready on a week-to-week basis. So again, it's so refreshing to hear Ben Johnson talk the way that he talks about this football team and how he's going to get them back to prominence, to relevance. Now, we'll see if it actually bears results, no pun intended. But the way that these guys communicate is just night and day. They were both asked about the offensive process for their football teams. This is what Matt Eberflus had to say at last year's combine.
With an entirely new offensive coaching staff, how long does it take for you guys to build out a playbook, and when would you be able to give that to players that are on your roster?
Yeah, so right now they're in the process of doing that. They really are. They've been working, every day when they're in the office. And, it's important that Shane, and Simo and the rest of the staff get together and start to marry these things together and formulate our offensive identity. And they're in the process of doing that right now.
10 seconds of nothing. That was another 10 seconds of nothingness. Or, I'm sorry, 29 seconds of nothingness from Eberflus. Yeah, that's what they're doing. That's their job, and that's what they're doing every day when they come to the office and punch in for their job. That's what they're building, a playbook. And by the way, did that ever get done? Did Shane Waldron ever get a playbook done? Because we know he didn't have 15 plays scripted to start the game. Did he ever get that thing installed, or was he shown the door before they were done doing that? Here's Ben Johnson talking about the plan for the offense.
I'm not working with the quarterback right now, but I will be soon enough. So we already have a plan in place in terms of Harry Fried was already on staff. He's someone I've got a relationship with from going back to Miami. I think very highly of him, and I'm really looking forward to sitting down. We've already started this process. We call it the Breakfast Club. He and I go 30 minutes every day right now, and he's just taking, I said, teach me like I'm a rookie quarterback from the start to the finish. And so we're about halfway through his program right now. And so once we get through that, we'll make a decision on where we want to go in terms of when the players get in, and educating them on how we want to handle the situations that can pop up and potentially win or lose ball games for us.
Wow. Just wow, man. Again, night and day. And I don't know if Matt Eberflus was, like, not showing his cards. Like, he was being, like, the old-school football coach. It was, like, a KGB agent or a CIA agent where they didn't want to give you anything at all. Or if he just didn't like talking to the media and just wanted to get it over with as quick as possible while giving us as little as possible. But Ben Johnson just told you how they're developing a plan. Not just, yeah, that's what we're doing. That thing you asked us about doing, that's what we're doing. He told you how they're doing it and how he's learning the quarterback position and offense at the same time. And Matt Eberflus wanted nothing to do with offense. That was clear in his time here with the Bears. And the last little bit that we have comparing Matt Eberflus and Ben Johnson and their combined media day answers to basically the same questions, they're discussing the same topics. This was Matt Eberflus talking about interviewing and meeting with the prospects.
Yeah, it'll be the same process. You know, we'll take them into the room. In this particular case, I'll ask them if they want to do darts or putting. You know, I like putting. I'm pretty good at both. But they'll decide that, and then we'll just teach them something about the offense, offensive play, and then we'll show them their tape. And have them, you know, talk about their tape and checking their FBI out there, and then recall at the end to give us back what they learned in the beginning. And it's the same process for all the players.
Dude, what? I must have missed this last year, or I just blocked it from memory. They brought them into a room and they're like, "You want to throw darts or you want to putt? What you want to? What?"
What did you say?
Did that really happen? That was a thing that really happened. How did the Bears not see this earlier? How did Ryan Poles and the Bears not see this earlier? At the combine last year, Matt Eberflus was like, "Ryan, I got this great idea. It's really going to loosen guys up. We're really going to get the best football interview out of these guys that we can possibly get when we bring them into the room." When we welcome them into the room, here's what we do. We have a dartboard and we have a little putt set up, and we let them pick. We let them pick what they want to play. At that moment, Ryan Poles should have just been like, "This ain't gonna work. We're gonna go in a different direction." What? You didn't just do what Ben Johnson talked about doing. Here's how Ben Johnson talked about meeting with prospects at the combine.
Everywhere's different, and this process is a little bit different than what I've been a part of. You know, it was different in Miami. It's different when I first got to Detroit. It was different when I left Detroit. And so whatever way you go with is your way. And I feel really good about the voice that not only I have, but the rest of the coaches are going to have in terms of picking these players.
Whatever way you go with is your way. And it's probably fine unless you're asking guys to play darts or putt-putt. Dude, what is that?
No, I want a guy that can sink a hole in one.
What do you find out about a Caleb Williams or a Torrey Taylor that made you take him in the fourth round? But is there a right answer and a wrong answer in deciding between darts and putt-putt? Like, if you're a coach and that's part of your process of interviewing these prospects, are you like, we don't want dart guys, we want putt-putt guys around? If I'm a prospect, that's what's running through my mind when you bring me in that room and ask me, so you want to throw darts or take a few putts here? I'm like, is there a right answer to this? Is this going to affect my draft stock? If I want
I'm not going to comment on that.
What? What? I literally have no idea what I just heard or why it was said. What are you doing? What are you doing, Matt Eberflus? Well, now you're the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys because that's what you were doing. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, I need to talk about something other than the Bears after that, and I will. Taylor McGregor, Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports Network. She'll join me from spring training right here on The Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back, live with more Rami Mekloff on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
First game is trending towards this weekend, so we're not at a point to make any decisions on Matt yet. He is getting healthy, essentially. Like, so obviously he's playing in games. Likely on Sunday, I think, is the day we're targeting for that. No decisions have been made there.
There's Cubs manager Craig Counsell talking about the hopeful return of third baseman and top prospect Matt Shaw from the oblique injury that's put pause on his spring training. Rami Mekloff with you till 9 o'clock here in the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Joining me now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today from Marquee Sports Network. Sideline reporter for those Chicago Cubs, Taylor McGregor, joins me. Taylor, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Good. How big would it be to get that kid at third base and have him win the job before opening day?
Yeah, look, I think it's important, but also they're not going to push it because it's even more important to have him, you know, down the stretch of this season. And if he has to, you know, sit out the first 10 plus days this season, so be it. I think there's a lot of other guys they're excited about in camp. Obviously, Gage Workman has been turning heads, and then you have John Birdie as well. So, yes, they want Matt Shaw, and he's going to get runway there when he's healthy, but they certainly will not push it just to make sure he's back for opening day.
You know, Taylor, I've covered a few spring trainings in my time and been at a few different facilities, and it's really remarkable how optimism and good vibes really reign supreme down there in the Cactus League. And some years that optimism and those good vibes, they turn out to be more real and more valid than they are in other years. Is there even more of that in the air this year with this Chicago Cubs team that you've noticed?
I would say yes. Look, this is my sixth season, and I will say this is the best team that I remember having at spring training and the most optimism that there has been with a team that I've covered. I think there's excitement, and I think part of that comes with the additions over the offseason with Kyle Tucker and then, of course, Ryan Pressly. But then you also have to consider the National League Central, and you know, there isn't a clear front runner in the division. And so I think people are excited about the potential to really run away with that division with the additions that they made.
You mentioned Kyle Tucker and by most accounts, a top 10 player in this league who's going to be paid like it a year from now. Does the ball? One thing that I noticed when I'm down in spring training is there are less people around. You get a little closer to the action in batting practice and things of the sort. And some guys, the ball and the bat just has a different sound when they meet than they do other guys. Do you notice a difference with Kyle Tucker and BP and what you see from him in terms of the way that he preps for the game?
Yeah, I would say there's a presence for sure. And I think an element of that comes with not only has he been an elite player in this league, but he's also won. I mean, the Astros have been a really good team. And so a lot of the young guys, it's been fun to see them look at him and look at him with reverence, not only for what he's achieved, but personally, but also, you know, with the Astros and wanting to know what's that like. What's it like as a team this time of year when you're having that type of success? So without question, you can tell there's something different about him, and I'm really excited to see him at Wrigley Field and hopefully contribute in big ways to this team.
You mentioned he has that World Series experience, and he's not the only one. They just brought in Justin Turner. Ryan Pressly has a lot of postseason and World Series experience. How much do you think that brings to the locker room, and do you think that was something intentional by the Cubs to go and get guys with that kind of experience, or did the chips just sort of fall that way?
Yeah, I think it's always the whole picture that you're looking at when it comes to who you decide to add to your roster, and a guy like Justin Turner has a ton of experience both as a player, kind of reinventing himself within his own career, and then the success that they had in LA speaks for itself. But I think when you talk to Justin Turner and anyone who really knows him, what he's able to do, he's able to dissect the game in a really deep level, but then able to share that information in a really simplistic way. So players are able to digest what he's saying easily. He's a great teacher, and there's so much that we could say about him, but I think they're really excited about what he brings. And so certainly I think that was part of the picture when they decided to add him to this roster.
Talking with Taylor McGregor, Cubs reporter for the Marquee Sports Network, catcher over there for every Cubs game and headed to Japan soon. I want to talk to you about that in just a minute, Taylor, because I've never been anywhere near Japan, so I'm curious about a trip like that. But manager Craig Counsell, Taylor, I've worked in Milwaukee for a long time. I pretty much for Craig Counsell's entire tenure, I was there talking and covering the Brewers. And when he made that move last year from the Brewers to the Cubs, he was leaving a very familiar place. He was leaving a place where he grew up and he had a very strong connection to in terms of the city of Milwaukee and Brewers fans. And people took that hard. And I'm sure that was something that, while he's not one to really show his cards, the whole transition process is not easy for anyone. But I imagine it was even harder for him with everything that he was dealing with in the process. Do you notice any sort of load off his shoulders, or maybe just a little bit more lightness when it comes to Craig Counsell? Is he just the same guy every day, no matter what's going on around him?
Well, I would say you wouldn't really notice a difference day to day. He's a professional, and he was able to do his job and do it well last year, and that continues into this year. I think when you start to have conversations with him and you're able to peel back the layers, you definitely hear how this year has been easier for him. Not only is he more familiar with the Cubs, but he was able to bring in some of his own pieces. I'm talking about a guy like Quinton Berry, who's the Cubs' third base coach. So, you know, there's more familiarity amongst the group that was already there, but then he was able to bring in some of his own guys as well. And I think that helps comfort. And then able to, you know, help construct a roster the way that he wants it. You know, he's had his hand in building this roster with Jed. So I think all of that just makes you feel more comfortable. And so I can't say that I notice a huge difference, because one of the amazing things about Craig is he's the same guy every day. But I think when you talk to him, you start to realize, sure, there is more comfort going into this season.
Who's a player that not a lot of people were talking about coming into camp, Taylor, that has either opened your eyes or opened a lot of people's eyes down there in Mesa?
I would say Gage Workman. I know I mentioned him in the third base conversation. I think, you know, he's a Rule 5 pickup from the Tigers, and nobody really knew much about him. And then first game of spring training, he makes some elite defensive plays. That was what jumped out to Craig Counsell, and then hit a homer first game of spring training as well. So that caught some attention. And then just the consistency in the at-bats. Look, it's a small sample, but those things start to catch people's eyes. And because of the nature of the Rule 5, he has to be on the major league team if the Cubs want to retain him. So I think he's getting a real close look at, or fans are getting a real close look at what he could potentially be like with this team. So he's been fun to watch and get to know early in spring.
One guy who's, and it's not, I mean, he's been talked about for a couple of years now, but he's getting some run down there in spring training, and that's Kevin I have trouble with his last name. Kevin Alcantara, the right fielder. He's just, like, some baseball players are just really fun to watch, Taylor, and he's one of the, he flies around the bases, the helmet's flying off his head. He's got all the tools that you want in a baseball player. There's a logjam, though, out there in the outfield. How long do you think before Cubs fans can see this guy on a regular basis at the major league level? Is he close to being ready, and how do they make room for him?
Yeah, we'll see. Like you said, I think it's a good problem to have. Do I think we'll see him in the major leagues at some point this season? For sure. Now, how much? I don't know, because you just don't know the nature of injuries and the way that everything else is going to unfold. But yeah, he's exciting. He added about 18 pounds this offseason, shortened up his swing a little bit. And so that's been really exciting for a lot of hitting coaches. They feel like he's controlling the zone better. So taking another step, you know, he had a cup of coffee in the major leagues last year. So he comes into this spring with experience, which is always helpful. And so he has a ton of confidence. That's one thing that has always been a part of who he is. He's an incredibly confident kid. And I think that's important in this game. Look, it's really hard. It's easy to kind of lose your confidence, but he seems to be on top of that. And I'm excited to see in whatever capacity he contributes the way he does this season.
You mentioned he put on 18 pounds. My favorite cliche from spring training every year, Taylor, is best shape of his life guy. Who's the guy in the clubhouse who's in the best shape of his life for the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah, I know. I made a joke with Boog and JD on opening day. I'm like, who's going to be the first one to use the cliche? but I actually, you know who looks great? Jordan Wicks. He lost about 20 pounds. He did a lot of Pilates in the off season, and so it was a focus of his to lean out a little bit, and he did just that. I know him and his wife, Megan, really focused on what was going into his body and, you know, adding a different type of conditioning as well. So he looks great, and I don't actually anticipate him being with the major league team to begin the year, but he will make starts at some point in the season. It's just a matter of when, and that will be an important part of what the Cubs do, because starting pitching depth, as we all know, is a vital part to this game.
All right, I mentioned it. You're heading to Japan in a couple of weeks with the Marquee Sports Network to cover the season, starting with the Dodgers out there in Tokyo. I traveled outside the country for the first time in my life in September, Taylor, and quite frankly, I find it all a little bit overwhelming. My fiance tells me where we're going and when we're going, because I find it all a little bit overwhelming. Do you know what you're going to do in Japan other than work? Do you have like things you want to do, restaurants you want to try and things like that?
No, it's so funny you asked that, because today I was literally on Instagram, like, searching cool places to go in Tokyo. But luckily, Alex Cohen, who's going with us, has been before. He has a full spreadsheet of places to go. So I'm kind of like you. Like, I'm going to let somebody else take the reins on this, and hopefully they'll lead us to the right spots. But super excited to get out there. I do college football, and so somebody said the Tokyo Dome's going to be like a rocking college football stadium, which just speaks to my heart. So cannot wait to see the Japanese culture when it comes to baseball, and then outside of that as well. Cherry blossom season, I heard. So super excited to just experience it all.
Well, enjoy it, and keep up the great work over there on the Marquee Sports Network. I'll enjoy catching you and JD and Boog on the call. Have a great night.
Well, thank you so much. Great chatting with you.
There's Taylor McGregor of the Marquee Sports Network joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Yeah, you need a spreadsheet person. Ooh, almost had an FCC violation there, Tyler. You need a spreadsheet person when you're traveling abroad, and at least I do. Again, the language barrier, the difference in the food, all of it is just real overwhelming for somebody who didn't leave these United States of America for the first 44 years of his life. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, it's a new era, Bears fans. We have a new team leading this thing. Well, half that team is new. How confident are you as the offseason's just about to get underway? We'll discuss that right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.